Today on the Wisdom Journey, we're continuing through the book of 1 Samuel. You'll recall from last time that King Saul was trying to kill David. David's experiences as he fled from Saul remind us that adversity and opposition can challenge our commitment to the Lord, but they also give us opportunities to act in gracious, unexpected ways. When we do, we make a lasting impact for God. Stephen Davey called today's lesson, Israel's Most Wanted.
David is now Israel's most wanted fugitive. He's running for his life from King Saul. And sadly, as we're going to see today, David is going to fail to demonstrate trust in the Lord. The opening scene here in chapter 21 finds David deceiving the priest Ahimelech at the city of Nob, where the tabernacle is residing for the moment. He doesn't want to reveal that he's running from Saul, so he claims to be on a secret mission. He asks for some food for himself and for his men. The priest will give David now that old bread from the tabernacle, which has just been replaced with fresh bread. David then asks for weapons here in verse 8. "Have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." Well, let me tell you, that's another lie. Ahimelech offers David the sword of Goliath. Now, apparently, ever since David had killed Goliath, the giant's sword had been kept in the tabernacle. But now that David is on the run, he's glad to get this sword. And he says here in verse 9, "There is none like this sword." Listen, David is slipping here in his fear. He's going to trust the sword of Goliath instead of God. And things get worse here as David flees to the Philistine city of Gath. This is Goliath's hometown. Verse 10 tells us that David flees to Achish, the king of Gath, and people there recognize David. Now, why in the world would David go to a Philistine city, Goliath's hometown, carrying, get this, Goliath's sword? We don't know what he's thinking, other than the fact that he's terrified. He knows Saul would never look for him there. And maybe that's it, realizing, however, now that he's been recognized as Israel's hero and his life is in danger, we're told here in verse 13, David changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. See, David is pretending here to be out of his mind. He's evidently convincing because the king says here in verse 15, "Do I lack madmen?" In other words, I have enough insanity around me. I don't need any more of it. So instead of killing David here, he lets him go. Ultimately, beloved, it is the grace of God that allows David to escape. Let me make the point that trusting the Lord in the past doesn't mean you're going to automatically trust the Lord in the present. No, it's a daily decision to trust and obey the Lord. Well, David flees to the cave of Adullam, now in chapter 22. He's discouraged and he's defeated. But let me tell you, here in this cave, God is at work in his life. Verse 1 says, "And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them, about 400 men. Part of God's solution for David's despair is to show him the despair and desperation in the lives of other people so that his eyes are off himself and they're focused on others who need his encouragement. By the way, that's a solution for anybody who's disheartened by circumstances. Look at the needs of other people. Now, verse 3 gives us an indication that David is once again trusting in the Lord. He takes his parents to Moab for protection. Remember, David's great-grandmother, Ruth, was a Moabitess. And David says to this king, "Let my father and my mother stay with you till I know what God will do for me." Oh, let me tell you, that's a great statement of faith. David is still hated. He's still hunted by Saul, but now he's willing to wait for whatever God chooses to do. Let me wait and see what God is going to do. Now, King Saul, on the other hand, is wandering farther away from God. His heart is so filled with hate and paranoia that here at the end of chapter 22, tragically, he kills all the priests of Nob, whom he accuses of conspiring against him. And with that, chapter 23 opens, and it opens with trouble in the city of Keilah. Verse 1 informs us that the Philistines are robbing the threshing floors. After the Israelites have planted, harvested, and threshed the grain, Philistine raiding parties come and take it all away. Well, when David hears about this, he goes and he attacks the Philistines and then liberates this city. Now, there's little time to celebrate because Saul finds out and comes right after David. Verse 13 tells us he slips out of town. David and his men hide away in the wilderness of Ziph, verse 15. Now, while David is hiding out there, his good friend Jonathan, the king's son, pays him a visit. And he says something really interesting to David here in verse 17. "You shall be king over Israel. Saul, my father, also knows this." Well, that's what this is all about here. Saul is not going to surrender to the will of God for his life or the will of God for David's life. He's not going to leave this kingdom throne. Now, it isn't long. Unfortunately, the Ziphites here betrayed David to King Saul, and the chase is on once again. Now we're in chapter 24, and here in verse 1, we're told that David finds another hideout, this time in the wilderness of En-Gedi. One author describes this area as an oasis in the desert wilderness. There are waterfalls and lush vegetation and countless caves in these rocky limestone cliffs. Now, at this point, something rather unbelievable happens. Saul has chosen 3,000 men to search for David, and frankly, David is now surrounded, and he and his men are hiding in one of these caves. And if you can imagine it, verse 3 says, "There was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself." In other words, he's alone, he's gone in there to use the bathroom, and he's totally vulnerable. He has no idea David and his men are hiding in this same cave. Well, the men are whispering, you know, to David here in verse 4, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand.'" I mean, they're ready to start singing, "God is so good." But instead, David arose and quietly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He's supposed to take Saul's life, not a piece of his robe. Even more surprising here in verse 5, afterward, David's heart struck him. In other words, his conscience is convicted of even cutting off a corner of the robe. Learn this from David. One mark of growing in grace is a sensitive conscience. Even the smallest offense becomes a weight too heavy to carry for long without confessing it. And David feels guilty for even reaching out in secret, touching the king's robe. However, David is going to confront Saul to prove his innocence. Verse 8, "Afterward, David went out of the cave and called after Saul, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, 'Why do you listen to the words of men who say, "Behold, David seeks your harm"? Look," he says, essentially, "I've got a piece of your robe. I could have killed you." He says here in verse 11, "There is no wrong or treason in my hands." The result is surprising here in verse 16. Saul lifted up his voice and wept, and he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil." Well, that's an understatement. But Saul realizes how close he came to dying, and he's overwhelmed. He admits his sinful, jealous heart, and he goes back home. Now, it's not going to last long. Saul is going to be chasing David again in just a matter of weeks. It makes me realize, beloved, that following the Lord doesn't guarantee an easy path. In fact, it might guarantee opposition and persecution. But in the meantime, let's act like David. Let's respond with unexpected grace. Let's make it clear that we're going to obey the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord, that our lives are in His hands. Well, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called Israel's Most Wanted. This is the Wisdom Journey, where Stephen Davey is teaching through the entire Bible with a new lesson each weekday. Today's lesson covered 1 Samuel chapters 21 through 24 and will continue through this book and the entire Bible in the days ahead. Whether you're listening right now on our website or a podcast app, we're glad you found us. Join us next time as we continue the Wisdom Journey.